Welcome everyone to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And we're going to be using the red hymnals and a half sheet of paper with the order of service on it. If you didn't get those, they are available on the table by the burning candle there by the entrance just off of Main Street. A few words of orientation before we begin. Tonight's service is a communion service, and to begin, all are welcome to receive the sacrament, and it's important to talk a little bit about logistics in this space, about how we go about that. There will be three stations for communing, one on either side of the table and one in front, and please simply follow the directions of the usher as they guide you forward. You will receive the bread, and then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one of those, and the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. If you do not wish to receive communion, you are still welcome to come forward to receive a blessing and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate when you come forward. Also, if you have gluten allergies, please simply indicate that to the person who is distributing the bread, and we will make a gluten-free host available to you. And if you'd like to read a little bit more about the theology of Holy Communion in the Lutheran tradition, you can find Luther's Small Catechism on page 1166 in the back of your hymnal. There will be an opportunity to give an offering in this service, and 100% of our offerings are given away, in this case, to Lutheran World Relief in their work in famine relief in the Horn of Africa. And finally, you will see, if you look at your order of service, you will see the very beginning of the service, water procession. This is a very watery service today. You will observe in our scripture readings. You see it in our summer theme this summer. You see it suggested in the cascading dyed silk around our space. And our service will begin with water being processed forward and poured into the baptismal font. This is water of our watershed here in this valley, water which we drink, which we use for bathing, with which we are, with which we baptize, and with which we are reminded of the mercy of God we encounter in those baptismal waters. And so if you would turn to song number 214 in your hymnal, as the water is processed forward, we will together sing the refrain only, repeated a few times through. The refrain only, springs of water, bless the Lord. And please remain seated so that we can actually see. When everyone stands, it's hard to see. So we will begin singing the refrain for the water procession, springs of water, bless the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand. The order of confession and forgiveness can be found on the back side of your order of service. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the creator of wind and rain, mountain and river, including the waters of our own Railroad Creek watershed, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world.
Amen.
Before God, and in the company of our sisters and brothers, let us confess our sin. God of all,
we confess we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have been judgmental toward others to avoid looking at ourselves. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways we wish we could take back, and looked the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us and heal us for the sake of Jesus, our Savior.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away, and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
We're opening hymn number 870. God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us. By your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a warrior. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped? Holy wisdom, holy word. A reading from 2 Corinthians. As we work together with God, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For God says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found within our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way. Through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying in sea, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel acclamation is song number 169. In your red hymnal, please stand. We will sing once through, then a single voice will chant the verse, and then we will sing the Alleluia again. Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up, saying to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You got a little bit of my Minnesota accent there. Guess I'm not a true West Coaster yet. When I was a kid, I had this dream of becoming a dog sled musher. Jack London's White Fang, Marty Stauffer's Wild America, and that great movie Iron Will got the best of me. Do you guys remember Iron Will? I love that movie. So in college, I moved to Alaska to work with the champion of the Iditarod sled dog race, which is by far the most famous sled dog race in the world. It's where you travel 1,049 miles across the interior of Alaska by dog sled. I went to live my dream. But after a few weeks of being there, I realized that my view of dog sled racing was drastically different than the real thing. Just like in so many professional sports these days, the top mushers centralize their sights on only two things. Can you guess what they are? Winning and money. So I decided to leave. I packed up my gear, my little tent, the little bit of food I had in the cupboard, and took a job a few hours away working in a kitchen. A kitchen of a restaurant at a fancy wilderness resort at the intersection of the Kenai River and the Russian River, which are infamous for their salmon runs. When I arrived, it was late at night and I had missed dinner, and my new supervisor told me that I would have a place to live, 3 square meals a day, a job, but not until tomorrow, when my paperwork had been processed. So I was on my own for the night. So I found my way down to the resort's RV park, set up my little two-person tent among all of these massive bus-sized RVs, and I was hoping to score some leftovers from someone's evening grill out, but everyone was asleep. So I dug around in my little lunchbox cooler to see if there was anything I could find to eat to hold me over until tomorrow morning. And I found half a jar of peanut butter, a packet of Easy Mac, and half a package of hot dogs. Now, I didn't have anything to cook with, so I apologize if this grosses you out, but I dunked my hand in there and ate some peanut butter. You get a little of the Easy Mac cheese and a little water and a little bit of the noodles, and you gargle a little bit. You have a little macaroni. And then I'm sorry, but I downed a couple raw hot dogs. A guy's got to eat. And I figured since it was an RV park that, and it was already late at night, that I could just kind of pack all this stuff up in a plastic bag, tie it up tight, and stuff it in my pack. And that would be good enough. The next thing I remember was waking up to this. And it's louder than that, so you gotta do it with me. And I look up and I see, and in Alaska it never gets dark in the summer, so it's kind of light out. And I see this shadow, this big giant nose. And at the end of the nose are these giant nostrils, and they're inflating and contracting. And I realize that there is a big old bear outside of my tent. And that bear wants my hot dogs. So it's time for a poll. What does pastoral intern Anders do? A, initiate communication with the bear. Perhaps saying something like, "Hello there, bear. There's more than just delicious hot dogs in this tent. Get out of here. Please leave me alone." A, that's A. B, initiate communication with my neighbors. Help! People in these giant camping RVs around me. I'm in a little tiny tent here, and I got hot dogs in here, and there's a bear outside of my tent. That's B. Or C, which is nothing. So who's in favor of A? Oh, you have no faith in me? How about B? And how about C? Oh, man. It's true. I did nothing. I was too afraid to do anything. My fear paralyzed me. But you want to know what's crazy about it? And the crazy about my fear? It wasn't so much that I was afraid of the bear. In fact, in Alaska, it's not that uncommon to actually be fishing on the same river as a bear. And you're in salmon territory. But what I was afraid of was what people would think of me when they found out that at the intersection of the Kenai and the Russian rivers, where the greatest salmon runs in North America take place, where beautiful giant bears gather to eat that salmon, I decided to take a package of raw hot dogs and virtually use them as my camping pillow. I was afraid of giving up my pride. That I was smarter than that. I was afraid of encountering vulnerability and needing to ask for help. Get back to the story. So this bear's shadowy figure disappears. And I'm thinking, oh, patience truly is a virtue. But then I heard the noise, smelling again. And you know how most tents zip closed at a corner like this? Well, there was this tiny little opening where the zippers met on my tent. And in hindsight, I think this is also where the smell of the hot dogs was most poignant. And the bear began to nudge and push at the opening, realizing this might be the way to get at whatever was so delicious smelling inside. So do I choose option A or B now?
B.
Still too afraid to give in to my stupidity, I picked up my fly rod case. It's a little piece of plastic. And I began to hit it on the ground. And I was too afraid to yell, so I whispered. To the bear. Hey, bear, get out of here. Don't come in here. But you can imagine it didn't faze the bear at all. This event of me whispering and the bear nudging and me whacking at the ground happened for a few moments, and then an angel appeared in the distance. In the form of someone leaving their RV trailer with their dog. Probably to take a leak. And there was this heavenly sound of this dog barking in the distance. And I watched as the shadowy bear's figure slowly looked up and decided to keep moving. In my stubbornness, my pridefulness, my close-heartedness, and my fear of vulnerability, I never communicated. I closed myself to the possibilities around me, to the ways I could have asked for help. I just sat there, stewing in the terror and the fear of it all alone. In our gospel passage this evening, Jesus' disciples were also stewing in fear and terror as they encountered this great windstorm while crossing the Sea of Galilee at night. That would be scary. I got to give the disciples props because at least they woke Jesus up. Because I didn't do that. I didn't wake anybody up. But notice what they said to Jesus in their panic. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? You've given up on us, and I thought at least I would wake you up to tell you that before we were all destroyed." Then Mark tells us, Jesus calms the storm, offers words of peace to the disciples. But what I find most interesting are Jesus' jarring words that follow. "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" It almost sounds like Jesus is saying that if we're afraid, it is counted as a mark against our faithfulness. That it's unfaithful to have fear. What do you think? Is that true? That eliminating our fears is the act of the faithful? I struggle with that message because I believe that faith doesn't eliminate fear or doubts, or all of a sudden make everything easy, make all of our fears go away. So, is there another way to explicate Jesus' words? Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? What if Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't be afraid, or to think that having faith brings an end to doubt, or that with God everything in life will be A-okay? But maybe Jesus is reminding us that fear can be paralyzing to a life of faith because it hinders us from seeing the possibilities that surround us, obstructing us from imagination and hope and love, mercy and justice. So what do we do with our fears? Well, I definitely say don't choose option C. Don't do nothing. In fact, maybe that's the only thing not to do. When we're most afraid, we often hide our fears. We hide them from God. We hide them from our loved ones. Think about it. At the times when we're most struggling in life, do we tend to avoid church? We're quick to share our thanksgivings and prayer, but we tend to keep silent when our greatest fears are among us, clawing at our tent, clawing at our heart. The goal is not to eliminate fear. We can't. The hope is to become more fully who we are in communion with God, to become more fully who we are, knowing that fear is a part of who we are, that when we are despairing, we can open our hearts, we can confess our sin, we can ask for help, we can seek to be loved, we can share our pain, we can share our fear with God and with each other. And so I ask you this night, what are you afraid of? What are your fears? Maybe you're like me, and you're afraid of vulnerability. You're afraid of not being accepted. Or maybe it's the fear of not knowing what the future is going to bring. Or being good enough or successful enough. The fear of picking the wrong graduate school. The fear of not being able to do all the things you used to because your body's aging. Or of what it would be like if we gave up some of our privilege so that others may thrive. Fear of not finding a person to spend the rest of our lives with. Of being rejected because of our sexuality. Fear of death. Fear of being marginalized or damned for straying from the beliefs of our church. Fear of not being forgiven for the sins that we've committed. Whatever your fears, I invite you to bring them into your life with God. God gets fear. God will love you in the thick of your fear. I say that confidently because God came to be among us, to experience life with us. God experienced fear. God is with us no matter what lurks outside that place. God enters into our most tumultuous times of life. Because God entered into our life. And God did so to proclaim to us this promise of steadfast love. Of a love that will never abandon us, no matter what the storm that came in the form of grace. Grace that can be received in faith. Faith that can enliven us to share with courage the same words that Jesus shared with his disciples that night. Do not be afraid, for God is with us. I invite you to look to the person next to you and to share that with courage to them. Do not be afraid, for God is with us. This is good news. Good news that in the face of our fears, in the midst of them, we can do way more than just survive. We can flourish. And in flourishing, we can seek possibility, we can imagine, we can hope, we can dare to do amazing things with God. None of it is in vain. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Amen.
We sing hymn 543. Please stand.
Hymn
763.
763.
Thank you.
Song number 179 will be the sung response to each of our petitions this evening.
With reverence for the earth, those in need, and the whole human family, let us offer our prayers to God. Deepen the faith of the church that it may proclaim your peace amid the storms of life. Hear us, O God. Arouse the nations of the world to seek a peaceful resolution to violence, destruction, and terror. Hear us, O God. Continue your presence with those who work to heal the earth from the misuse of natural resources. Hear us, O God.
O Lord, hear our prayer, we offer up to you. O Lord, hear our prayer.
Comfort all those who live with fear, distress, doubt, or illness, especially those we now name aloud and in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
O Lord, hear our prayer, we offer up to you. O Lord, hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for John the Baptist and all our ancestors in the faith. Give us endurance in suffering, that even in our sorrows we may rejoice in your grace and salvation. Hear us, O God. Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace. Stand as the gifts are brought forward, we sing hymn number 479.
God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest.
Invite the young children, if they would like to get a really good view, to come up close here around the table. Come up close. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Gathered in the Spirit, we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Come now, for all is ready.
Thank you.
Please stand. We sing the post-communion canticle on page 113.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you. With grace and with mercy, the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 876.
Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.